Welcome to the Lunchtime Podcast.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a special weekend bonus edition of your Lunchtime Podcast. Today's episode, I'm joined by my friend Dan. Dan and I have been friends for at least 16 years. He's not only my friend, he is my brother. I love the guy a lot. I have a lot of respect for where he's been in his life and where he's at now and where he's going. We talk about his life, partly about his life, having to grow up in a foster care system. We also cover some of the trials he's gone through in his life. It's not the usual episode where it's all just piss takes and laughing. There are a few serious moments, but it's all in good fun anyway. I truly hope you enjoyed the episode. I know I had a great time making the episode with him, and hopefully he'll come back and he'll do another episode and we'll continue on in the story. But also during the show, we do have some technical difficulties with recording, so some of it does cut out and we try to find where we pick up. So hopefully we picked it up in the right spot and we're able to continue the story. Anyway, guys, hope you enjoy the episode. Glorious. Go Yankees. All right, we're on.
Are we? I thought you would have done like an intro or something. We're on. Like, welcome to your Lunchtime Podcast. And, I'm your host, Matt Barnes. I can hear today
That'll get all done later.
All right then.
In editing, in the cool studio.
Okay, so you do it.
The studio. We'll do the cafeteria, I should call it.
Alright.
What have we got going? We got a bit of the... What's the time now? Oh, it's only a bit after lunchtime. Buffalo Trace. Have you tasted it? Have you tasted it yet?
I've taken a couple of sips. I was trying to work out what it was. You've got it in a Jack Daniel cup, so I'm just not... not sure.
It's, have a little sip of that. Straight. It doesn't have the burn of other bourbons and stuff like that. Got onto it from Rogan. Joe Rogan.
Oh, old mate Rogan, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that's soon to be number two in the world in podcasting.
Well, it does have a bit of a kick to it, but there's a sweet taste as well. Like it's...
Well, it's the they put traces of vanilla in it. It's so good. I have not mixed that with anything yet. It's just on ice.
It's pretty good, man. It's pretty good.
So tasty. It's good, but here we are.
Well, yeah.
10+ years in the making.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking about it for a long fucking time. I remember I was bringing it up with you when you were living out at Red Bank there. Like, how long ago was that?
A long time ago, Jesus. Yeah. Christ, that was about 5 years ago now. Yeah, wait, I've been with Bone King now for... 4.5, so yeah, at least 5 years.
Minimum 5.
At least 5, yeah. Maybe even a bit longer.
So, yeah, I don't think you were at Red Bank for that long before I started getting into it.
Well, I moved. And I was still at Aussie Phones when I was living at Red Bank, so maybe it's even a bit longer, eh? I don't know, I'd really have to sit down and think about it, yeah, but
long time. I remember that, you were with the computer repair place when you were living out at Red Bank.
Yes, I was. TCCW, the Computer Clearance Warehouse.
And I remember that's when I first started, because I remember I used to say to you that I used to listen to that MMA podcast. It was a, what were they called? Tap Out Radio. It was just the three of them. And I remember I used to listen to it on the train on the way out to your place. And I always used to say to you, shit, need to get onto this. Need to do this.
And here you are.
And it's only taken about 30,000
years. Here you are, finally fucking doing it. Ooh. Are we allowed to, like, swear? Because, like...
Shit, fuck, cunt, okay, mother, cool. Fuck, oh. Pussy, powder your balls and rub it on just, a slut's face.
This is just all new to me, so...
No, it's just like we're sitting back at your place, my place. Not in the magnificent studio that I you reckon. See before you.
Well, it kind of... It's a glorified iPad, really. I'm just looking at the setup now, and you've got a laptop turned on, but there's nothing plugged into it. Like, everything's done from the iPad.
It's all done from iPad, man. It's podcasting now is so easy. I don't know why I put it off for so long. I really well.
Even an iPad with a cracked screen. Look at that.
Oh, the technician comes out. The repair man. Uh-huh.
Got to keep your equipment in tip-top notch, mate. Look at that. That's... I'm not sure I like this second-rate podcast now. It's using second-rate equipment. And... Is this microphone even on?
Second-rate equipment, second-rate guests.
Yeah. That's... yeah. Thought somebody would have fixed it already, like if you noticed it like that. It's like, well, if you're...
Well, if you're any good...
Yeah, well, that's...
it would have been... It should have been repaired.
It should have been fixed already.
Do you know anyone that could repair it?
I do know these mobs out at Mount Gravatt. They're pretty dodgy, but I don't know. They might get the job done.
Oh, fuck. We got the Yankees game going on in the background here, and the crowd is going absolutely fucking nuts. What do we got? We got Yankees up at the bottom of the seventh.
Oi, what was that, man? What ball did he throw?
Oregon East tried to throw you splitter.
I reckon you'd be right.
There we go. Look at that. Bases loaded. One out. Bottom of the seventh. Yankees up over the Minnesota Twins. 7-4. And the manager's walked out for the Twins.
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't look happy.
I was just thinking, isn't like stereotypes for like Americans and baseballers... He walks out like chewing tobacco. Yeah, old me.
Oh, they don't do they don't do the tobacco anymore.
Well, that bloody looks like he's doing.
They all do bubble gum now.
Oh, do they?
Because
okay.
it's frowned upon now.
Okay.
In this PC sensitive world.
Yeah, right.
Fucking. Like how bullshit. As the workplace has just the world in general become with all this PC bullshit.
Yeah, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
As Joe Diaz is saying, I fucking tell you what, dog.
Yes, my binary ass won't be bloody, partaking in that stuff.
And there's...
I say binary because I don't identify as anything else.
Oh, I thought you were a carton of milk. You identified as a carton of milk?
You got me. You bloody got me.
What are you, binary, pansexual, asexual?
Isn't it? Like, when I think of binary, I think it's computer language.
That's
like...
Well, knowing you for, what have we've been friends for at least 15 to 16 years now.
And actually, I think I've just worked out why they call it binary, because binary is a code. Binary code is hard to work out, so if you're trying to work out their mental state... Well, I can't talk. Let's just call it for what it is. It's a fucking mental illness. Like, it's...
I genuinely believe that with some people it is.
Definitely.
They're so confused by... Oh! Oh! He's dropped it short.
No.
Damn it. Oh, I thought someone was going home.
I think the pizza might be here. The dogs are up.
Pizza man could be here. Yeah, you're right. Just...
Pause it. What do we do?
Oh, no, you're right. I'll just keep talking. But, I do think that some people, when it comes to the sexuality thing, I do believe, with some of them, it is a mental illness.
Yeah. See, we're talking about a different question now. That's not... Sexuality's not the actual question. Like, if you want to say, like, dress up in women's gear and
and put on women's clothes, and if that's going to help somebody's psyche, what's the word and the phrase that I'm looking for? To help them either deal with issues, to feel good, whatever. But why do I have to partake in saying yes just because you dress like a female or...
Well, just to cut into you there, do you know what actually happens on Twitter if you refer to Caitlyn Jenner now as Bruce Jenner?
No.
First, you might receive a shadow ban, which means if someone goes to look you up on Twitter or even on Instagram, I think it's also happening on Instagram. If I was to look you up on either one of them and on a shadow ban, that means I cannot find you. I can't find you at all.
Wow.
And then the next step after that is if you keep going, Twitter bans you for life.
No way.
Yes way.
Not being a Twitter user, I did not even know that.
I still refer to it as Bruce Jenner. Well, I refer to her as Bruce Jenner because...
See, even that, if it made him or her or whatever feel...
Whatever his pronoun
better
is.
...better about themselves to get the sex change, I'm all for it. Whatever. But I don't need to say that they are what they are. They were born a male or they were born a female. In reality, that's what the good Lord gave them, and I'm not religious, but, you know...
But the problem for me...
Not the good Lord, their parents.
The problem for me with it is... Like, I know for her, it must have been hard. But you go through two wives, you got about 80,000 fucking children, and then you just go, you know what, I'm nearly 60, I'm a woman. Like, and
isn't that the strangest thing in the world?
But you know what that says to me? You fucking hang around the Kardashians long enough, you gotta want to become a woman. And as Rogan says, I'm worried for Kanye.
Very true.
Oh, there we go. We've just had three more run in. Look at that. The score at the bottom of the seventh is now 4-10 to the Yankees.
Here
in Minnesota. All right, well, we'll just quickly pause there. We'll go have a feed and we'll be back. And we're back, refreshed.
All right.
Refreshed.
Yes, we are. Certainly are.
No longer thirsty, no longer empty stomach.
We aren't.
It's got the food, baby.
Yeah, we do.
Where were we before?
Talking about how bigoted I was.
Oh, that's right. You're another one. You're like Ron. You're like, you hate the Jews?
Well.
You hate the blacks?
No.
You only like the blonde-haired, blue-eyed people of the world.
No, that's not the case at all.
And you're also saying transsexual people, I think that's the term, should be shot, I believe you're saying? Oh, no, sorry.
No,
set on fire while they're alive. That's right, my bad.
That's not inhumane, but... You also said
Caitlyn Jenner is quite attractive for an old woman.
Yeah, no, she got it going on. I know how I sound, but there's certain things that maybe society's not ready to take yet.
I think society's in a good place at the moment, but the thing that does me is the 7 and 8 and 9 year olds are saying, hey, mum and dad, even though I'm a boy, I think I want to be a girl.
Exactly.
A child is not in the mental place.
That's right.
Well, because what is it? You don't reach your full mental capacity as such, they say, until you're in your mid-20s. So how does someone at 9, 10 years of age go, I think I want to be a boy now instead of a girl? Or, you know, like, that's...
That egg carton over there, Mum? I want to be exactly like that.
It's
mental illnesses rubbing off onto the world, and that's not the right way society should go. It sounds old-fashioned, I know, but...
Oh, you're an old-fashioned guy.
Well, I am.
The guys and gals.
Because
that's a generation where respect and things weren't just given, they were actually earned.
I think our generation is the last generation to do that. You see, the early mid-20-year-olds, some of the teenagers now, they're just, especially you see it on the news all the time, 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, running around car parks, starting fights, fuck you.
Entitled little shits.
Knowing that, what's the police going to do? Move them on, take them home.
Yeah.
And that's it. Back in the day, I remember if you gave lip to a cop like that, they would forcibly grab you, put you in the car, start driving you home, pull over, and give you a good smack around the back of the head.
You know Dan, my cousin?
Lovey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of times in South Australia that he actually got the good old phone book put up his shirt and they pulled out their batons and gave him a good old touch-up. I'm sure if you ask him these days, he deserved it.
I was just going to say...
He fucking deserved it.
Knowing Lovey, he probably...
Probably deserved it. Yep.
It.
Yeah, no charges laid, no nothing.
He's still over in NZ? He's still doing his computer thing?
No, he's still a programmer, yeah, but he's over here now. He's
back
living,
here?
Living in Carina somewhere.
Oh, really? Not,
I haven't seen him for a little while, but...
Not peering creepily at your sister?
No. Not
ogling over his relative?
No. God, he better not listen to this. Nah, he's a good bloke.
He probably wouldn't even remember it.
No.
He'd be like, probably what the not. Fuck are you talking about?
That's probably a time of his life that he fucking, like me, wants to forget.
Oh, man, well, you've been... One of the things I wanted to talk to you about was some of the things you've been through your life. Growing up a foster kid.
It was an experience.
Some of the stories you told me, like, about how you were in court and you had to watch your mum and dad battle over who you were going to live with. And it wasn't a case of...
It wasn't a battle, really. It was a case of who wasn't going to take him. Like,
yeah.
It was...
And see, because that's one of the things when... I speak about you to some people. I always say how proud I am to have you as a friend, to see where, knowing your background, knowing your story, to where you've got to today.
It's been a long journey. How do these chairs recline? Do they recline? Or?
They do. But that one doesn't go too far back because...
That's all right. Yeah, no, it's definitely been a long journey. But in saying that, it's like... been a fun journey. Like, I wouldn't change any of it, really.
Well, they always say, you know, the journey's what
the
makes you.
The journey's still going. Like, it's not...
Yeah, you haven't reached that final destination yet.
It. Like...
We're all still pushing.
Like, it's still pushing. But yeah, no, I pretty much...
So, growing up as a foster kid, what was that like for you?
Well, it started... I was a bit of a kind of a kid. I will say that. There's a few things that I did that I'm not proud of, and... You know, I understand why Mum did what she did. May not agree with it, but...
We've all got those things, dude.
That's it, you know. Things happened the way they did. I went to a place called Harrison House, which was pretty much a youth hostel, halfway house kind of thing, for wayward kids. From there, I went to probably, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 foster families. Before I went to a couple of permanent ones.
Well, those first 3 or 4, we'll just back up a sec. What happened for you to go to one and then have to move on? Like the transition period, like what was that? Like, how long was that? And
well, it'd really be up to it. You've got different types of placements that you can get. You can get a long-term placement or a short-term. Now, if you're a short-term placement, it means you're with a family. Well, this is what it used to mean. I don't know much about the foster system these days, but if you're a short-term placement kid, you're basically staying with a family for a short term, not for a long term.
A couple of weeks, a couple of months.
A couple of weeks, a couple of months kind of thing. Most of my placements were supposed to be a long-term period but didn't turn into that, whether it was, you know, the families had their own kids or stuff happened to...
What's that like for you, watching like, going into a family where there's already kids, like, what's your memory of what was that like for you mentally? Like, that's got to be a hard thing after watching your mum and dad do what they did, and then going from one family, and then all of a sudden you're uprooted, saying, look, you got to go to this place now. You get there, and there's already kids there. There's already a family that's established.
You'd expect it. It's one of those hard things, eh? You'd know that, like you said, the family's already established. Listen to that. Sounds like a business. Like, the family's already established.
Well, it sort of is, isn't it?
Pretty much, you know.
You have your hierarchy, you have your high office, you have your mid-level.
And they even get an income to have you there. So, in saying that, for some of the families, that's what it felt like. You know, you were only there as a form of income for them, so that they could go get their weekly guardian check, or whatever they used to call it. Go to the pokies, go
drug
get
money.
Drunk. There you go. Good word for it,
get the drug money.
Exactly. And they were the kind of families where things didn't last. You know, you were there, supposed to be there long term, but whether their kids got in the way, or family services cottoned on to what they were doing, or you ran away, things just didn't work out the way they did. But
you do that much? Run away a bit?
I ran away.
I
ended up going to a really good home where I was actually loved, and I had a brother. His name was Josh.
Well, just quickly for people that are listening, what ages did this all go through with?
From about the age of 10 to, God, I was 18 when I left Nikki's house. So, yeah, good 8 years, 9 years.
So 8 years in the foster system.
Pretty much my developmental years, where I was developing all my skills, social, be it social, mental, you know, all the fun times. All the fun times. But there were bad families, but in saying that, there were good families. I never got sent to a home where I was, like, abused physically. Emotionally, that's a different thing. But, you know, you cop stuff on the chin, and you know you learn how to bury stuff.
Well, I guess some of that emotional stuff sort of helps develop, like, a thicker skin.
Exactly. It's character building, let's say.
That's it. That's a better one for it. Character building. And you are a fucking character.
You try to be. But I ended up going to Lynn's house. Now, Lynn was a parent who was actually on the verge of, like, not doing fostering anymore when she was deciding to take me. It was, do I take Dan, do I not? I'm looking at his position where he is at the moment. I don't like it. I love the kid. Josh needs a brother. She ended up deciding to take me. So I went to live with Lynn, and that was probably my longest stint in a stable home, let's say.
What? She kept you in a stable?
Yeah, no.
What sort of person makes you sleep out with horses?
Yeah, trust me, and if you knew her, she's not unstable, but she's probably one of the most beautifulest, unstable people you can meet. Her heart is always in the right spot, even for kids that never deserved it, or, you know, never got a good chance. She was like, she wanted to help. Excuse me. She wasn't really in a position where she could take on another kid, to be honest. Like, it was...
But yeah. Something was obviously just telling her that she needed to look after this kid.
Mm. Pretty much.
Mm. Oh, you're right. Cough a lung up.
I've just told him to pause it so I can, like...
This might be the... We might have our first death on the podcast.
Yeah, I think we have.
Beat that, Joey Diaz.
I think we have. Oh. Yeah, but no, that was definitely a fun time. Like, that was, if there was any time as a teenager where I remember being happy, it was then.
It was then.
And is that around when you started developing your love for tech?
Yeah. Kind of, sort of, yeah. I never real... Like most kids that are in that situation, I never had the chance at a good education where I actually went to live with Lynn. Now, she was sending Josh to a independent school on Tambourine Mountain called Tambourine Mountain College. Really, really good school.
Shout out Tambourine Mountain College.
Bloody eight. Expensive as fuck, but a really good school. Now, there was all types of ways that Lynn could have sent me to that school, you know, be it my dad paying child support to Lynn for, you know, my well-being, things like that.
Oh, so does that still happen?
Yeah.
Did one of your parents or both parents still have to pay a form of child support?
They didn't.
For you to be a foster kid?
It was a choice my dad made to do it.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, I did see them both fight over me in court and stuff like that. They both wanted the best for me.
They just didn't feel they could provide it?
Yeah. Pretty much. But that's the job of a parent. Parents provide for their kids. That's what we fucking do.
That is what parents are supposed to do.
Whether it's a shit life or it's a good life, they're meant to provide. Like, it's what they do. But, you know.
Well,
I've forgiven them for it. Like I said, I don't blame them. I'm 36 years old now. I'm at the stage now where I've taken control of my life and really have to be accountable for my own actions. The time of blaming my past is really over. You know, I've got nobody to blame anymore but myself.
And see, that to me, that comes back to being a kid that spent 8 years in the foster system building that thick skin.
Yeah, yeah.
That it builds the character, builds that resilience.
Absolutely. And then knowing you for, like, God, nearly 15 years, that's fucking...
Even more character. That's tough for anyone.
Actually, that's the toughest thing I've done.
I was just going to say, you've had to spend more time around me than you did in foster care.
I think so.
So maybe I can take a bit of the glory for your character building.
You can. Everyone can. Everyone that's come into my life and had an impact on it definitely can. And there's been a few characters. There's been some characters that aren't around anymore. Like, there's just, you know... about Lynn, I don't see Lynn as much as what I would like to, or as much as she deserves, really. She had that much of an upbringing on my childhood that my kids now call her Nanny Lynn. Now, she's a foster parent of mine. She's not blood related or anything like that, but it's like our relationship. Family's not blood all the time. Like, you're almost like my brother.
100%.
So, you know... If my kids call her Nanny Lynn, then that's... Yeah, she had a real big impact on my life. But talking about my education before, I didn't actually finish what I was saying. She was the one that actually submitted applications to family services for funding. She asked my dad. She did everything she could to get me into Tambourine Mountain College, all which failed. And she said, fuck this, I'm not letting this kid... not go to that school. He needs to go to that school for the education that I want him to have. So she paid for it out of her own pocket.
Wow.
Now, we're talking $3,500 a term.
A term.
Holy now, that's how much it was back then. So I'd hate to see how much it is now. But
and you were living up the mountain there, though.
And I was living up there, yeah. She used to buy us Christmas presents, like, and I'm not talking anything cheap, like a motorbike. Like, we used to get motorbikes and holidays. And
holy shit.
So that was definitely one good foster home. Like I said from the start, I don't consider myself to be unlucky. I'm definitely one of the luckier ones because of people like Lynn that actually did want to help, genuinely help. And it's hard to find in a world like this anymore.
Well, you do. You hear more often than not the horror stories about the foster kids in the system.
Yeah, you do.
It's a fine line. either you make one turn and everything turns out pretty decent in your life, or you turn the opposite way and it just becomes a living hell for some of them.
Yeah. Like, I actually didn't even answer your question before. Is that how I got turned on to tech? Like, it kind of was, because at Tamarind Mountain, I had access to, you know, computers and the internet, and we're talking like 1999, no, would have even been before that, because I left Narang in 99, yeah, 95, that's gone, he's, yep.
Beauty. Yankees just take Watch game catch. One in the American League playoffs.
Getch.
Go those
This is
Yankees.
The playoffs, is it?
It's the first game of the first round of playoffs, yep.
Yeah, right.
The Yankees finished in first in the division, finished first completely in the East. What are we now? 11-game winning streak against Minnesota in the postseason. Minnesota, I think pre-game they were saying that come October, Minnesota just don't win a game. That's what it's like. Look at that crowd. That's the sort of crowd they had at the LA game the other day for a regular season game.
That's what I was saying off before we were recording.
Americans know how to do their sports. They know how to do their sports.
Mm.
Like 40,000 people to a regular. Well, you look at Premier League soccer as well. Over in England, you get 60, 70,000 people to a regular game.
It's nuts.
It's absolutely insane. And our country is slowly drifting away from being a revered sports country. We all grew up on sports.
Yeah.
And that's what I reckon the problem with cricket is today, too. There's no backyards.
Yeah.
You look at the size of the houses and their yards now, there are no backyards. I remember being able to fit 6 or 7 kids in a front or a backyard, some backyard cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, the Australian cricket team's gone to shit, and I blame the Australian government for not letting people have decent-sized plots for housing.
100%, man. Fucking 100%. Don't you miss the days of being a kid, just like, no worries, no...
Being a typical fat kid, I miss tuck shop. That's what I missed. $3 gets you 6 chicken nuggets. Actually, and
being a foster kid, the good thing about, you know, it might be a day that you forget your lunch or something that at school, you can go up to the tuck shop and you go, ladies, mum...
I have no parents, no one loves me.
No one loves me, I didn't get time to pack my lunch. And they'll be giving you, next minute, you've got like, in the tuck shop order coming to your classroom, you've got like a hot dog and a soft drink and you're like, whoa.
You played the porky card. Hell,
yeah. Like, man, I pulled it quite a bit when I was younger.
Well, you pulled it earlier with the pizza guide. It doesn't work these days.
Well, you know, he didn't.
But you never know if you never try. Yeah, I did have to remind you, when he asked for a tip, I did have to tell you, put your pants back on.
He said, which tip do I touch? Like, you know?
Yeah, being a kid, man, that was the best.
I miss it.
I just miss it. Being an adult, shit.
Man. It might sound like we're joking, but it really fucking is.
I think back to all the time, like the things like the front yard cricket with the neighbourhood kids, the running down to a creek and not going, oh no, you've got an allergy to grass.
Actually, here's one. I wish I could just be a 16-year-old kid these days, be in front of the United Nations.
Oh, and read your script that was written for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And be angry.
And blame, like, you know, generations before me,
but
these days.
Did you notice the plastic bottles she was drinking out of?
Yep. And she probably had her iPad and her iPhone on charge as she was giving that speech. That's just like these dickheads in Brisbane that are doing it, though. They're jamming up traffic because of climate change, but do they realise the pollution and stuff that are coming from the cars that they are jamming up?
Of course they don't. Like, and they would have gotten on the electricity-run train, or they would have been
there
in the petrol or diesel run vehicle.
Yep.
I bet you none of them walked from the Gold Coast.
I bet
you none of them walked.
Yep.
They all used transport and contributed. I get there's a problem. Oh, the people who say there's no such thing as climate change and all, come on. If you got someone saying, I saw something the other day that Neil deGrasse Tyson, he said, now this is a guy that clearly being in Australia and not famous, I've never met him.
Smart dude.
I believe him. When he's got an opinion, I sit up and listen. And now he says, climate change is real. That is enough for me. But he also goes on to say that even though climate change is real and things are declining at a certain rate, the world is still going to be here.
Yes.
Well and truly after the next 3 or 4 generations.
Yes. And like, as technology improves, we're going to develop stuff that, you know, counteracts it. But,
well, it's inevitable, isn't it?
If Greta really wanted to help, stick her in front of fucking China and do that shit. Maybe Hong Kong? Throw her in the middle of the protests in Hong Kong?
Oh, Jesus.
Let's have some bearing on the world that's going to actually... Like, she's going to win the Nobel Peace Prize, for fuck's sake.
For reading a script.
A 16-year-old kid getting the most prestigious award in the world.
Well, I had this discussion the other day with someone. To? And I said, well, she's not the only... If she gets... That's if she does receive it, she won't be the only one.
They reckon that she's odds-on favourite.
Because... And this is a pretty unpopular opinion of mine that a lot of people dislike, but I'm an adult. I can say what the fuck I want. I also believe Barack Obama got his. And anyone that knows me knows I'm not racist. I've got friends from every walk of life. And I treat everyone the same. I hate you all.
That's
equally.
Right.
Hate you all equally.
Fucking hell.
But I believe he was in office for what? Maybe a month? And he was given a Nobel Peace Prize.
Mm.
Can you remember what for?
No idea.
Exactly. To me, he got one for being black.
What's happening? Look.
As what do they say on... What's he say on Joe Rogan's? Young Jamie, pull that shit up. Actually, I've got the fucking laptop sitting right here. I could have... I actually got a news article prepared that I wanted you to read and be able to see. It's, where is it? Here it is.
In 2009, Barack Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his extraordinary efforts to strengthening international diplomacy and cooperation between people.
In 2009, so that's what, 10 years ago. How long had you been... Oh, so he might have been in more than a couple of months then.
December 10th, 2009.
But, this is a guy who wiped out some of the...
Keep talking, I'm just going to go YouTube, dummy.
One area of the White House to turn it into a basketball court. Like, if that is not the most chilled thing to do as a president, you know what, we don't need this fucking... We don't need this bit of land. I want to play basketball. Do you reckon Trump uses it? I bet anything that Donald Trump has never set foot on the White House basketball court. Or if there's any other sporting areas on there, I have zero... I believe he has been on any of this sporting equipment 0 times. The man is... He's high a lot of the time. A man his age should not have that much energy. He is clearly on some sort of amphetamine. He has to be. There's no other way. The man who works as much as he does, is as big as he is, eats as much junk food he is, has that sort of energy. I work a full-time job. I don't eat as shit as Trump, but I tell you what, I was just saying that old Trump, I wonder if he's ever stepped foot on Barack's basketball court. Barack had a basketball court built onto the grounds of the White House. I don't believe he has set... I don't think he's looked at one piece of gym equipment or sporting equipment at the White House.
Trump, probably not. No, I doubt it.
The guy's on Adderall or some sort of amphetamine. Because as it keeps getting pointed out on other podcasts I listen to, the man is in his mid to late 70s. He eats nothing but junk food. He never works out. He constantly works. Where does he get all the energy from? He is always so full of energy.
He's on something, isn't he?
And he's always, yeah. That head is on, he's like a meerkat. In the African plains, the head is on a swivel.
It's either on a swivel or their hands are on Twitter. Watch the South Park episodes of Donald Trump and his tweets. It's classic.
Is that still around? Are they still making episodes of that show?
Yeah. Actually, the latest two are out of season 23.
I have. Have you seen John Wick 3?
No.
Have you seen any of the John Wicks?
No. One of my mates the other day, though, was on a John Wick bloody marathon by the looks of it, because he's, like, put his status up, John Wick 1.
Man.
3 hours later, John Wick 2.
Dude, you've got to watch the John Wicks. For action films, they make it extremely believable. Like, when it comes to shootouts and fist fights.
Mm.
Oh,
I've heard they're good.
He's probably one of two Hollywood.
What a hit that was. Sorry.
No, you're right. He's one of maybe three Hollywood stars I wouldn't fuck with. One I wouldn't fuck with is Will Smith. The dude knows how to box.
Yeah.
When he trained for Ali, he did everything that Ali did. He was trained by Muhammad Ali's trainer, Angelo Dundee. He learned every little trick. He did. He ate the same foods. He trained the same way. He trained the same hours. He did everything the exact way that Ali did.
Yeah.
The other one is obviously Keanu Reeves, because you see the man has trained in several martial arts and he's highly competent, and he's also extremely handy with the firearm. Have you seen those videos on YouTube?
No.
Man.
He's a good dude though, Keanu Reeves. Doesn't he have like some kind of charity as well?
Oh yeah, but he also rides the subway in New York with no bodyguards, no big Hollywood crew that follows him around. He gets on a subway, and it's funny, like, I remember seeing a video a while ago of someone just on their phone, and they're like, oh my god, look, it's Keanu Reeves. Is that Keanu Reeves? And he's just sitting there, and there was also a screen grab from it. He's just sitting there, you know, he's got his foot across his leg, and he's just sitting there, just
reading
a book. Sitting on the subway.
Yeah.
Keanu motherfucking Reeves.
I'm not around.
He, I don't know how to spell it.
Man, they walk around just anywhere, eh? Like, even though they're celebrities, they've got a life too, I suppose. That's just like, one day at work, I'm sitting there doing my thing as I do with my screwdriver. And I've looked up, and who else? Who's bloody looking at me? Corey Parker. No shit.
Oh, Cozza?
Oh, Corey Parker's sitting there with a bloody trolley full of groceries.
Shout out to be Broncos legend, Corey Parker.
Wanting to get his phone fixed. And I didn't know who it was, served him like he was any other customer. He's booked in the repair, gone away. And my boss has come up and gone, so you can look on the name of that paperwork properly? And I've looked at it, I'm like, Corey Parker, yeah? Alright. It's a repair, can I do it? And he was like, yeah, do you know who Corey Parker is? And I was like, no. He goes, man, the dude plays for the Broncos. And I completely blew out. Next minute, I'm Googling Corey Parker.
Buying his jerseys.
I was like, no way, I'm fixing a celebrity's phone. But yeah, buying his jerseys. Anyway.
Here we go. This is the John Wick training video. Hang on, I'll just find the volume. See if we got
it. Oh, wait, I think I have seen this. But yeah, play it.
He. Don't have the volume up, don't want it to interfere. But. Look at that with the Benelli. Look. Halle Berry for the third one. Man, she. She is badass. Look at 6 months. To prepare for John Wick 3, Keanu Reeves and Halle Berry trained for 6 months with Taron Butler. I'm just watching Joe Rogan and Tom Segura. They're training with this Taron Butler. For part of Sober October, this guy. But I don't think he's that big. I think he's lost
a
lot of weight.
He's a fucking crack shot.
He is ridiculous. But mind you, remember, this is his third movie around. Every time before the John Wick film, 6 months beforehand, he's in doing weapons training. He's constantly training in his martial arts. He's keeping up to date with that. So you don't want to get in a hand-to-hand fight with him.
Mm.
And you don't want to break into his house and go on the run.
I could think of better things to do. Definitely.
Jesus Christ, look at
even Halle Berry. It's look at her go. She is Halle Berry, she's with, I think that looks very similar to an AR-15. She was nailing every target. Now she's on a 9mm, drilling every target again. Drops the mag, loads it before you can blink, and she's off again. Look at her go. She actually broke 3 ribs while making the film and kept filming.
No way. She's hot as fuck with that gun, though, I tell you.
I tell you what, Halle Berry is a sexy woman with a gun.
Sure, she'd be a sexy woman with any gun.
She's dang good looking. But yeah, no. So, Keanu Reeves. And I reckon my other third celebrity I wouldn't fuck with is Jason Statham.
He's definitely hard cut, that guy.
That dude. He was part of the British Olympic diving team. So he's fit as shit. But he's also a black belt in Kyokushin Karate, I think it is.
Jesus Christ, I don't even know what that is, but...
It just sounds fancy.
It just sounds like you're going to get your ass kicked already.
If it sounds fancy. Here we go. This news article I came across this morning. A top scientist at NASA says the agency will soon disclose something revolutionary about alien life form. Planetary Science Division Director Dr. Jim Green boasted the agency was close to making some announcements about finding life on Mars, but he also thinks the human race is not ready for what they're going to reveal.
Ah, I think it was... There was a continuation from that article as well. The reason why people weren't ready is because they needed to get an extra $150 million from Australia before they were actually ready.
How is that? The Australian government handing
off... Stupid.
What the hell?
You know, the same night, me and Kylie went for a meet. Oh, it wasn't a meeting, it was a work outing. But we did the work outing, did dinner, did bowling. On our way home, walking through Brisbane City, I legit saw a child and a mother falling asleep on the side of the road in Brisbane City, under the stars. I didn't know what to think. Me and Kylie didn't know if we should ask them if they wanted a place to stay for the night or what. But I open up my phone after that, and the first thing I see in my newsfeed is $150 million to NASA, and we've got shit like this going on in our streets.
It's bad, man, isn't it?
It's disgusting.
It's what...
It is disgusting.
What this government has decided to spend its money on for what they believe is best for the country, it boggles the mind. Like, I wonder too, like, you see the homelessness, you see the drug addiction's
getting cut,
the drug addiction, where people who want help aren't getting that help that they want, that, and these are the ones that want the help, and they can't get it. Then they get arrested, they go to court, they get fined, they get arrested again, they go back to court, and they're told you need to get help. Where's that help going to come from?
Unless you want to do it yourself.
Like, and you look at... And I'm not talking about these high-end people that are on cocaine and some of these other, you know, some of these other party drugs, but these are the ones that are on the heroin. Like, you know, what we call... Well, what we class as the filthy drugs. You know, like And these people, they want to get off it, but they can't because they can't afford the treatment because the government's using all the money... For other countries.
Other shit. It's mind-boggling. I don't get it. I don't get it. But yeah, no, that was definitely a sad thing to see. Like, this child was 10, maybe 11 at the most.
It's about as old as Max.
There you go. There you go, man. Mm. Exactly right. About as old as Max. That's sad. It's really sad.
It's becoming quite a sad state of affairs with when it comes to homelessness and people needing medical help for things like drug addiction.
Mm. I like drugs as much as the next guy. But you know. No, that was just a stupid joke. We were talking about something serious then. Sorry, Matty, for interrupting you.
Well, let's talk about the drugs.
Alright.
Drugs.
What do you want to talk about? It's like a new segment in the podcast. Drugs.
Oh, well, that's what I do. I bounce off all the walls. I touch every corner.
Your Canadian listeners would be like, legalisation!
How old were you the first time you had drugs?
Well, of course, the very first drug I would have tried, would have, like any kid, would have been a cigarette, nicotine.
Was going to say heroin?
Oh, that was before the cigarette.
The first thing you tried was the smack?
Because my heart stopped, it doesn't really count. No. I was 10. See, that was one of the reasons for getting kicked out of home was, you know, stealing mum's cigarettes. We barely had any money to do anything, but yet I was stealing mum's cigarettes. Oh, fuck, mum actually had cigarettes, but yet we didn't have any money to do anything. Go figure. I was like stealing money, stealing cigarettes, and I would have been about 10 the first time I had a smoke, and really haven't put them down since then. It's quite sad.
It'd be sad if you were to sit down and think, from the first time you bought a packet, you spent your own money to buy a packet.
Stole the money.
Yeah, but I'm just saying apart from that.
If it was my money.
Think about how much money you would have if you just went, And now, some of the cigarettes have gone up to $31.
It's insane.
Like for a packet of 25 is now $31. And you get all these people going, hey, mate, can I bum a smoke? I'll give you 50 cents. Bullshit,
fucking this cigarette is what, like, that's crack prices. It's like,
this cigarette by itself is $1.97. You will give me $1.97. Yeah. If you give me $2, you're not getting any change.
That's right.
It's the hassle of taking out one of my own cigarettes.
Yep. The first real drug would have been weed, and I was about 12 at Nikki's place, and she lived at a caravan park in Reedy Creek, and it wasn't really a full cone. She's kind of had hers, put the bong down, and I've kind of picked it up and sucked what was left in there. Next minute, my eyes are rolling around in my head. I didn't know what was going on, and I was fast asleep on her on her bed. I don't really remember the first time I got stoned because it knocked me out.
Well, I think I might have been telling someone away from the podcast, or it might have been on the podcast. Like, when I was in high school, and, you know, you all had that one mate who had that little pipe, that little steel pipe with the little cone piece in it, and everyone used to sneak up. We used to smoke that.
I was that mate. I was that mate.
You were the one that had it? Yeah, I can't remember who it was at school that had it. I think it was one of the old schoolmates, Troy, I think it was. He was the one that used to bring it. And so we'd be sitting there playing basketball, and it's like, oh yeah, run across the road. And there was an old sports centre looking thing. And there was a certain spot out the front. If you stood, you couldn't be seen from the school, but you couldn't also be seen at the front door of the sports centre. They couldn't look out and see you.
The perfect hidey
so,
hole.
So, yeah, it was a perfect blind spot. So we used to sit there, play a bit of basketball, and we'd all take turns. It's like, oh, all right, Troy passed me the pipe. I'd run over, smoke a bit, go back, give it to someone else. And then one day, one of the guys, Bruce, was like, oh, I'm shouting a big session. Do you want to come over? And I was like, I'm denied. Because, you know, I was only used to having these tiny little pipes. And I go over to his place that night. I'm like, fuck it, might as well. Told mum, I think I was like 15 or 16, I told mum that I was staying at a mate's place. And so I go over to Bruce's place, and there's about four of us from school and his next door neighbour, because he was out of home by then, because he was about a year or two older than us, so he had his own place. He was living at a home. And his neighbour come over, so we're all sitting in this tiny, tiny little bedroom. Like, the bedroom was probably maybe not even as big as what we're in now. And that we're all passing the bong along. And as the night goes on, we're all getting the giggles. We're getting the little kid giggles. We go, hey, everything's funny. It's like, oh, look, Owen's blowing smoke out his nose. That's funny. So you spend 5 minutes laughing your ass off at that. And then I remember pulling this one cone. I think it was up to about the fifth cone, I think it would have been. And I just went hard at it. as soon as I blew it out, I was like, holy shit, I can't feel my feet properly. I honestly couldn't feel my feet. And so the next time it came around, I chickened out of that one. I was like, oh no, I passed it on to Owen. And I just remember going, I need to go home. This is getting too much for me. So I get up, I grab my shit, say bye to the boys.
For some reason, I think there's no going home for you in this story.
Oh, I get there. Don't worry about that. Now, where it was near the Northside Cemetery in Rockhampton. So where his place was to my place, it's a 10-minute bike ride. So anyway, I get outside. It had been raining earlier in the night, so outside was slippery, and there was a bit of a divot in the ground where it was just smooth mud. And I was so high, I missed the handlebar grabbing the bike. I've slipped over and just laid on my bike, and I'm like, holy shit. Anyway, I get up, I start walking the bike along, because, you know, the first time I've ever been that high, everything was just like, everything's going really slow. What the hell's going on? So I get on my bike, and I reckon I stood at the traffic lights for about 3 minutes with no cars going past, but I was just double checking, because I kept telling myself in my head, you're really high, be careful of cars. You're really high, be careful of cars. And I'm repeating that to myself. So I walk across the road, and then I get on the bike, and I thought, oh, I'll just cut through the cemetery. That'll take 5 minutes off. And I'm looking down through the cemetery, and it's pitch black, and I'm like, I'm not getting anal raped. I'm not going down there. I'm too high for this shit. So I start following the road along. I get to the lights, and I stop because there's cars coming. And I remember going to push off to start riding in, and I look at my feet, and my feet are pedaling like this. They're going super fucking slow, and I'm putting all the effort into the world, and I'm doing everything to get the bike moving, but I don't seem to be going anywhere. And so I stop. I remember I had the shits with the bike because I thought something was wrong with it. And then I get off, and as I'm doing this, it occurs to me, I just went, I haven't had anything to drink for a while. It instantly got the dries. So I'm looking around through my bag, and I'm like, sure, I've got something here. And then I see one of the taps, the council taps, that non-potable water. And I'm like,
nah, you didn't.
I go up to it, and I'm like, I really need a drink of water really bad.
Oh.
But that is when they started taking the tops off the tap.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and I'm tapping the actual bottom where the water comes out, trying to get a drop, and nothing's coming out. So I'm getting more upset because I'm really high, and I should be watching out for cars, and I'm really thirsty, and my bike's not getting me anywhere. So I get back on my bike, and this bike ride in total took me an hour to get home on what is normally a 10-minute fucking bike ride. Now, I get home, and what do you do when you're young and you're high, and you see your parents? You try and hide.
Sure, yeah.
Mum's dead in the middle of the land room on the phone, and the way our house worked was, you go up the back stairs. We had an outside toilet. It was at the top of the back stairs, right next to the door to walk inside. And I can hear Mum talking as I get home, so I thought, oh, she must be in her room. Good, I'm going to go into my room and hide. So I walk in and go to walk past the lounge room, and there she is in the middle of the fucking lounge room talking, and she just stops and looks at me. And I'm like, I'm just thinking, how high do I look? How high do I look? How high do I look? Because she didn't say anything. She just stopped her conversation on the phone. She's staring at me. And she's like,
fucking, I'm not high. You are.
She had to have known. I was Cheech and Chong high. That's how high I felt. And I'm like, thinking, does she know? Did someone tell her? And I didn't know what to say. She's like, oh, you've come home. I went, yeah.
Bitch, really, you're stoned.
Really, really tired. I've got to go to bed. Yeah. So I sort of stopped looking at her. Because I'm like, the more I look at her, the more she knows. And so I go down to the room, and I lay on the bed, and I'm like, now, am I going to fall asleep really easy? What's going to happen? I've never been this high before. What the fuck do I do? And then I actually focus on a point on the ceiling where there was a bit of blue tack.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, one part of the room started swirling to the left, the other started swirling to the right. And I'm like, oh no, I've got to close my eyes. So I lay there. I don't know how long I was laying there for. I close my eyes. And I'm like, they get the urge. I'm like, shit, I've got to go have a pee. Fuck, I've got to walk past mum again. So, now this is summer. I go into my wardrobe and I pull out the stripy bag where we keep winter clothes.
Mm.
I pull out a jumper with a hoodie on. And I put that on and I've got the hood over my face. And she stops talking. She's staring at me again. And I don't say nothing. I just walk and I open up the back door, go to the toilet, and I'm standing there. I pull the old fella out. And I'm like, what's going on? I think my penis is broken. I need to pee, but nothing's happening. And then the green out moment happens.
Sweet.
My legs go out from underneath me because I can't feel my feet again. And I'm literally hugging the bowl like it's a long lost lover. And I'm just throwing up. And just when I think, oh yeah, I've got everything out, I should be fine now, I smell the weed and the vomit.
Oh.
So I start throwing up again. I am there again for an hour. Just constant throwing up. If I hadn't forced myself up to go into the shower, I would have sat there for hours just throwing up because the smell just got too bad. I reached up, pulled down the handle, opened up the door, pulled myself up, flushed the toilet, and I'm about to throw up again because I can still smell it as the toilet's flushing it all through. And I'm like, oh, I need to have a shower. This is bad. I'm panicking. I'm thinking I'm dying. There was something in this weed that
was... Is your mum asking any questions at this stage yet?
No, not yet. But I get up, I go, yep, I'm going to go have a shower. And then she's like, I've got to go. Matt's sick.
Yeah, something's going on here.
And I hear that and I'm like, oh, please no, please no. Because I know I look even more high now. I hear her hang up the phone. And she's like, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I just froze. And I'm like,
you're stoned, mum. I'm not.
And the only thing that could come out of my brain was, my mate's uncle had a cigar. I've never smelt it before, and it smells funny, and I think it's made me sick.
Oh, my God. I'll say Taylor, because I know Lucas won't hit me with that. But if Taylor ever hit me with that excuse, I don't know what I would say. I know she'd be lying.
Surely my mother had to know that is the worst excuse in the history of excuses.
Did she buy it, though?
I don't know. She left me alone.
Well, you didn't get in trouble.
She left me alone, but I used to get away with a lot of shit.
Yeah, true.
Because when I was 18 or 19 now, legally as an adult here in Australia, do you remember the old corner store? It's called Food Store.
Mm.
Well, there was one in my old hometown. And
starting to turn into IGAs there.
There was a house that was built directly behind it, not connected to it, but their garage roof and wall were touching the food store. It was empty for months. It was up for sale. So Food Store bought it and they were using it as a storage place, which I come to find out this one night. I pry open chicken wire because I'm like, I want to know what this house looks like. Because as a kid, always seeing this house, I'm like, it was one of the nicest houses I'd ever seen. Always wanted to go in and have a look at it. So I do a little bit of a break-in. And I go through the house, I'm looking, and I didn't pay any attention to the garage. So I go through, I go up to the second story, I'm looking around, I'm like, oh man, this would be a nice house to be living in. And then a police car pulls up out the front. And I'm dead in the middle of the fucking window, being the great criminal I am, wearing a white t-shirt.
Yeah, no, not inconspicuous at all, anyway.
And I just, I freeze like the Tyrannosaurus Rex has just stood in front of me. I just freeze, I'm not moving, and these two cops get out the car, and they're staring straight at the fucking house. Middle of winter, I got sweat pouring off me. I'm like, these cops are going to see someone moving around. They're going to come in and they're going to fucking shoot me. So I do the old duck and hide behind things. One of them starts walking towards the house. And it was one of those movie moments where you're like, how's he going to get out of this? Like Dexter. You're just going, how's he going to get out of this? And then I hear his little walkie-talkie going off and he gets back in the car and takes off with his partner. So I'm like, oh, fucking. this is great. So I thought, I better get out of here before they come back. Because obviously someone's called and said there's someone going through there. Because he just started walking towards the house for no reason, was getting his flashlight out. So I thought, I'm going to go out the way I came in. I pull out my mobile phone, the old Nokia 3310.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm using that.
Shout out.
I'm using that as a light.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck am I bumping into in this garage? And I'm showing the torch. I'm like, hang on. That's a carton of Coke. And so I play the risk. I go and see if there's any power to the house. There is. I turn the light on in the garage. It is full of soft drink. It is full of bags, cartons of chips. There's Glad wrap. I spent an hour and a half clearing out that garage.
Hell yeah.
Took it to my ex-girlfriend's place, who lived 2 minutes, not even 2 minutes, down the road. Stored it all. I think in total, I had 30 cartons of Coke. Countless cartons of chips. And just because I didn't like someone who worked at food store, I took all the Glad wrap too.
Oh yeah?
I spent the next couple of weeks Glad wrapping people's cars in the middle of the fucking night around Rockhampton. But that was the close call for me. After that night, I've never robbed a damn thing again. I was just like, no way. There's no chance.
Wow, we went from talking about drugs to like how much of a criminal you are.
Drugs leads to crime, people.
Yeah, it does. Obviously does.
Oh, man.
Bloody criminal. Like, any cops that are listening, they should fucking...
Isn't there some sort of period of time where... What actually had me worried about it too was there was a write-up about how the place was done over in the local paper. But that... The following day, later in the afternoon, there was a uniform car there. There was a detective and food store staff with the garage door open. They're all sitting there looking through shit. And
where did all that coke go?
I do the walk past and I do the old freeze again. I'm like, oh shit. And it was one of those weird moments where there was no traffic, there was nothing. I'm on the other side of the road. And they all stop, and every one of them turn around and look straight at me. And it was one of those, oh, they've got me moments. I was almost tempted to walk over and tell them it was me. I was feeling...
No way!
I was feeling so fucking worried that...
Jesus! No! Far out.
Oh, man. It was hilarious. But,
I mean, yes would have been the right answer for that. You know, being honest.
Back to drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs. What are you... Kylie's... Daniel's partner, Kylie's over here. She just starts laughing. Yeah. We go drugs, crime, drugs. Hand in hand, isn't it?
Well...
What's the worst you think you've been with drugs?
The worst that I've
had. In an honest moment. Like, the worst use is, you know, like... What you've used and stuff like that.
The worst experience, alright, this would be. It was actually around the time that I lost my job with Aussie Phone Repairs. The last couple of weeks we were getting into the gear a little bit. We were heading... Actually, it was the Phillies Brisbane concert that you didn't come to.
Oh.
It was this day. I had...
Don't have to remind me.
Yeah, sorry about that, man. I had probably about half a gram straight up, straight into my bloodstream, let's say.
Woo! We weren't fucking around, were we, dog?
No. Now, anybody that's had ice before would know that that's a lot to have. That's quite a bit to have. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm a small kind of guy. And that's probably too much for somebody my size. I really, really had a bad time. I almost crashed my car going to the concert. I was throwing up everywhere.
I'll say that was a Tuesday morning, you mean?
Yeah, no.
that was the before the coffee.
Yeah. I actually thought I was going to die, eh? Like, my heart... I had to pull over quite a few times because I was throwing up and... And I probably just should have waited for Lee. Lee was going to the concert as well. I worked with him that day, but I was just in too much of a rush. So I had it, and then I jumped in my car and left. Yeah,
fuck you, let's get this party started.
Pretty much. And I drove probably 15 minutes to meet up with Kylie and Aaron and Kalina. And
yeah, brother and sister-in-law.
Yep. Took me about 35 minutes to get to them, and I was fucked. I definitely shouldn't have had that much straight up.
Because I
was very stupid.
I think one of my scariest moments when it came to drugs with you was when you were living in Eagleby. And I can't remember how many of us were there, but I remember there was Jamie, there was your sister Nikki, obviously Kylie. I don't remember who, but I remember there was a few other people there, and you had a bit of ecstasy.
Yep.
And I remember seeing you turn really pale,
yeah,
and walk down to the bathroom, and I could hear you trying, what sounded like, I didn't actually know if you were throwing up or if you were trying and it wasn't coming up, and I had this absolute panic moment come over, because I think Kylie was getting something ready and we were all still out in the land room and no one had noticed you had gone off except for me, and I'm like,
if I remember right,
holy
rightly,
shit,
this is the first night that I double dropped. Yeah, it was actually a big skull of water that brought that on. See, when you're peaking,
and what a fucking peak it is,
having a big skull of a liquid like that is probably not the smartest move. People say drink water and stuff when you're on ecstasy. And it's sound advice, yes. Only if you feel your body overheating, or like you would when your body is at its normal stage. You know, you've got to remember your heart's pumping extra hard air. It's giving yourself a little workout.
I was just going to say, it's a workout with it.
It's, yeah,
running around.
Without the workout, it's a workout. Yeah. And you have to be able to compensate for that. So drink it extra slowly, you know, don't go so fast.
Not that we're telling if anyone has kids that listen to this, we're not saying that go out and do drugs.
Not condoning or anything.
But if you're an adult and you can make your own sound choice, you know, this may be some handy tips.
It's definitely a good idea to keep yourself hydrated, especially if you are, say, like at a music festival and stuff like that. You know, most of my time was in the safety of a house with friends, with people.
Back on.
Yeah, we were talking about Fooey's...
the Fooey story?
River Stage 2011.
How good drugs are. How they bring back some lost memories.
Yeah, they do. Apparently, we were trying to buy tickets with money we didn't have. Maybe I was going to offer the guy some bloody crack for it or something. But the part of the night that is very vivid to me is actually as we were about to leave the concert, we've gone to grab our bags at the security checkpoint. Now, I had all my utensils inside my bag. I had all my drugs inside my bag. And I left it at the security checkpoint for them to look after, so I could go and party on. But I was at the checkpoint of, like, one of the first ones there, got my bag, and I've spun around and just seen this sea of people. There was 100,000 people walking towards me, and it's like I just shrunk. I shrunk down to this little shell of a man, and then out of this sea of people come this arm and just grabbed me, and I don't know if you remember, but fuck, it was your arm.
The old fat boy rescue.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, if there's a point that I remember in my life where I was drowning because of drugs, or where I felt, not insecure, but unsafe, it was that moment there, and lucky you were there to fucking grab me and pull me out of it.
Lost in a panic.
Lost in a... Yeah, man, it was.
Well, that was...
It was.
That was part of the point I was making before about when I saw you, when you took the ecstasy that night. And I had my little panic moment for you because no one had noticed you were gone, and I could hear you, and it sounded like you were trying to throw up, but you couldn't throw up.
Mm.
So it sounded to me like you were choking, and I'm like, oh, fuck, I've never been in this situation. What do I fucking do? And I remember going down your hallway and seeing you slightly sideways to the toilet, and your veins were popping out your neck, your face was red, like you were trying really hard to throw up. Then I had to go get your sister, and I was like, holy fuck. That was like, for me, when it comes to our friendship, I think that's the scariest moment that I've ever had, that I've gone, oh,
even that
oh,
night,
shit, is he gonna die?
That's a blur. There's vivid nights that's a blur. But yeah, no, that's... If I remember anything doing it, it was definitely sculling the bottle of water, because I went for a big scull of water just as I was peaking, and that's a bad move. Bad move on my part.
Because I remember, and I've told a few people, like, one of the times that I've done drugs with you, because I've also said to people who know me that if I'm ever going to do any drugs, there's no one else that I trust more, that I can feel safer in, to do it.
Oh, thanks.
Than you.
Thanks, mate. I appreciate it.
Because you are my brother, and I trust you with my life, and I always take your advice when it comes to things like drugs or technology, just anything in general, really. And I remember that night at your mum's house at her birthday.
Oh, we're snorting the coke off her desk.
Did coke off her desk.
Hey, mum's 50th.
And then
she's walked in, and I've like looked up at her. She's walked into her office, and I've like looked up at her, and we've got her mirror off the wall, and this big mountain of coke on it. And I'm like it's the most normal thing in the world. What do you want? Do you want some?
At that point, I'd never done coke before, and I remember you saying, "Go grab a beer. You're gonna need a drink." And I think. That's, to me, that night was the point I realised, well, I trust this guy for my life. I need to take his advice on drugs. Because I kept thinking, what the fuck? I don't need a fucking beer. What do I need a beer for? And then that taste that goes down the back of the throat hit, and I'm doing that. And it just wouldn't fucking go away.
Yep.
And so I end up having a couple of those beers, a couple more nose candies, nose beers.
Nose beers.
And then we go back to your sister's place, and you're like, here, have one of these. Try this. And it was a fucking pinger.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't know. And he went, nah, you'll be fine.
I probably was thinking something like, you've just had coke, mate. You'll be right.
This it probably wasn't the best, because you were... Yeah, you went completely with it.
No,
so,
no, I can imagine not.
So I remember taking this, and I remember you, your sister... Kylie, you're all peeking, you're all having a good time. I'm like, oh, you guys are taking the fucking piss out of me. This is just a bullshit thing, nothing's happening. And then I remember Kylie and your sister told me to sit down. They pulled out their TV screen that she used as a monitor and had those 3D screensaver things going and told me just to stare at it. So I'm staring at it and I'm like, yeah guys, nothing's happening. And then your sister starts rubbing her fingers over my scalp, through my hair, and Kylie does that little soft pickle, can't get my words out, that soft tickle across, you know, the back. And they're both saying, anything yet? And I'm like, nah. Well, keep staring at the screen. And I'm like, I don't think this is gonna, and it was a, holy shit. It came on so hard. I felt like my eyes were about 3 feet wide. And it was for me, it was the greatest feeling on earth. And then I remember you calling me into the bathroom saying, hey, medic,
eye check.
Just look at your eyes. Oh, yep.
Oh, yep.
Yep. Yep.
Dinner plates.
It's gotcha. Yep. What you should do, put your head under the shower and then walk outside.
Just do it.
What for?
Just do it.
Just go on. Just do it.
Do it.
So I dunk my head under that shower.
I'm probably like scratching my neck as I'm telling you to do this. Oh man, just do it.
I look at you like a puppy that's chasing after a ball. I'm like, okay,
all right.
Go outside. All right. And holy shit, that feeling was ecstasy is cool, but that next day, I understand how people fuck themselves up on it.
Yeah.
That calm down, and you just go, oh, I'll just take another one, get rid of the calm down.
Yeah.
Oh, calm down, take another. And I understand why, because that calm down, it can be depressing, man. It is. I remember laying in the back of your car on the highway the whole way, the whole time back, and just laying there. No seatbelt, so if we had a crash, I probably would have died. But I just didn't care. I was like, oh, I want another one.
That's like what we were saying before about like my upbringing and things like that. And, you know, weed's definitely been, and I don't know if I wear this as like a badge to be proud of or anything like that, but, you know, weed's not, it's not that it's been there for me or it's been a friend, but I've just self-medicated that long now that it's just become a normal thing. You know, there was a little while where I was doing it to mask things that had happened, you know, where I was doing it to escape reality. And I suppose I can't say that it's any different now. Like, it's just a different kind of reality, I guess. Like I said, I now have to take ownership for what I have done, what I haven't done, where I am in my life. You know, and yeah, like I was saying, I've self-medicated on the stuff for so long now that that's been one of my coping mechanisms to be able to get through it all. Like it.
Oh, sorry, that's better.
And whether that's the wrong thing to do or not, that's just how it's been.
Well, when it comes to self-medicating with drugs, whether it's weed, which we know, no one's really against it. To be Well, there's a few people that are, but when it comes to self-medicating, there's a point where you know you're medicating, and then there's a point where you just know, oh, this is game over.
Yeah.
You're not coming back.
Mm.
Whereas, where I've seen you go, and where you've come back from, makes me immensely proud to call you my best friend.
Oh, cheers, man.
Because there could have been times where you could have gone down that rabbit hole and never come back.
That's it. And it's been the people in my life that have guided me in that correct direction. Like, you know, if I hadn't have had Kylie there at times, if I hadn't have had Nikki there at times, if I hadn't have had my kids there at times, you know, it just all would have fucked up and I would have gone the wrong road. If I hadn't have had you there at times, man, it would have all fucked up and gone the wrong way.
It's quite scary when you think about where, and you see where some people do end up.
And Kylie actually pointed at you then, like I'd forgotten about you.
That's poor right. Matt. The fat kids always get forgotten.
They do. They do.
We're first in the lunch line, last with the love.
Yazar! Oh, I'm going to steal that. But no, you have been. Like, you have definitely been a big part of my life as well.
Thanks, man.
Like that.
That's appreciated.
And even though I'm 36, like I said, I'm still learning. Like, I still...
Oh, we're all learning. But, you know, you could be 63. You're still learning. Like,
you're still learning.
And that's where I think I've grown up a lot. I'd say in the last, at least... It's taken me at least 10 years to grow up to this point. I'm still not a full grown up. I'm still adolescent in mind.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of... One of my big things was always anger. I'm still an angry dude, but nowhere near as bad. Like,
You've calmed down a lot.
I'm better with it now. I don't fly off the handle as much. But I think that's come along to how mental health...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to hold everything in. Everything. Whether it was past relationships or family stuff or just work stuff. I just never say anything to anyone about it. Because, you know, it's taken, what, I'd say the last 5 years for everyone to start accepting help for mental health. Like, where it's no longer, even though a lot of people still hold it in, it's no longer, what's that the word?
Taboo.
Taboo, yeah. It's no longer taboo. And I think that's a lot to do with it now, because we all know what I'm like. I'm comedian first, thinker second.
Yeah.
I just say shit straight away.
Yeah.
And I've learned now to think about my words a little bit more instead of just flying off the handle. I still fly. I wouldn't be me if I didn't fly off the handle. Fuck.
But I like to think I'm like that, but yet I started off this podcast being a bigoted fuckwit. Like,
you know, and you're going to end it
still being a bigoted fuckwit. But, you know, like, it's the way society goes. Stuff like mental health is actually a real issue. You know, people don't identify as cardboard boxes for no reason. Like, you're either a guy or you're a girl. I'm sorry, but that's how
it's that argument about
biology works. It's
genitals don't determine your gender.
Like, I've got my own mental illnesses to deal with. I don't need to accept yours because mine aren't fucking acceptable anyway.
What is it? It's all just opinion, isn't it?
It is.
Everyone is allowed to have their own opinion. That's right. Even though the fact you can have an opinion and someone tells you, no, you're wrong. It's like, how can I be wrong when it is
my opinion?
My opinion. It's what I think. Just because if I think something and Kylie disagrees, it doesn't mean my opinion's wrong. And I'm not going to think hers are wrong. I'm just going to be like, that's what you think. Good luck to you. Like, you know, you're allowed to. You're a grown ass adult. You're allowed to have your say.
That's it. That's it.
So,
and that's like, just finishing off, I do just want to say, like I said at the start, it's been a long journey, but it's one that I wouldn't change anything. I don't sit there and think of myself as one of the unlucky ones just because I was in the foster system, you know. It's helped develop me who I am today. It's helped develop my skills for my career. It's helped in developing my skills to handle people, to make friends, to make enemies, to fuck for life in general. I'm definitely one of the luckier ones and have come out of it a lot better than what a lot of other people have. And I know that sounds cliche, you know, no matter what, somebody else has always had it more rough. Or better, or whatever the case may be. But that is how I think about it, because there are other people out there that are a lot worse off than what I have ever been in my life.
Well, you don't let it hold you back.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
I try not to anyway. Try not
to. We've all got a demon or two.
Like I said, it's about accountability. It's about saying, yes, I did that. I fucked up. I didn't fuck up. I did the right thing. You know? Accountability.
Well, look at the time, man.
Accountability.
I think we'll leave it at accountability.
I think we should.
It's been a good one.
It has, man.
I've enjoyed it.
Me too. I appreciate it.
My first one. I appreciate you coming. I love you, man.
I think we need to, next time I come in, we'll make it so it's not so all over the place. We'll put down an agenda, what we're going to talk about. Because it sounds like
that. I wouldn't be me if I'm not all over the place.
You're right, you wouldn't be, but, you know,
It keeps people on their toes.
Yeah, there's probably a bit more that we could have gone into.
I'm about as organised as the Joker.
Yeah, well, fuck that. On that note.
What is it? I'm a dog chasing a car. I don't know what to do if I catch it.
That's it. That's what, on that note.
Anyway, brother, thank you very much for this. I love you very much.
You too, man.
Thanks
for having me.
Bye, fuckers. Well, there you go, guys and gals. Another episode of your lunchtime podcast, done and dusted. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Nice little weekend bonus episode for those who like to listen. I'd just like to thank my brother, Daniel. Love you very much, man. Thank you very much for the interview and being open and honest about it, about everything. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. And remember, on Anchor, you can leave us a voice message. With your voice message, it'll get played on the show and do our best to answer it. Remember to also follow us and like us on Facebook, Instagram. You can send us messages there. Till next episode. Thanks very much. And see you then. I'm out. We'll be right back.
This episode of the podcast was brought to you by Anchor FM, the fantastic Mr. Matt.